morning sermon was delivered at the 10:30 worship service at the United Methodist Church of Kent. Please enjoy.
The sermon this morning is a continuation of a sermon series entitled Come Into God's Presence, during which we're considering biblical worship and how it informs our life of faith today. One of the notable features about biblical worship is that people were inspired to bring to God their best. We talked, for example, in weeks past about the agricultural offerings that people would bring to present to the Lord, and they always brought quality ingredients for their sacrificial offerings. The book of Leviticus, for example, says, "When anyone presents a grain offering to the Lord, the offering shall be of choice flour." And further it says, "If you offer an animal, the herd, whether male or female, you shall offer one without blemish before the Lord." In short, they did not bring to God their cast-offs, but brought to God the very best that they had. This theme can be seen yet further in the scripture account that we heard this morning from the book of Exodus about the building of the tabernacle, also in that passage called the Tent of Meeting. Let's be for a moment in a spirit of prayer. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Last week, Nolan Cross, who is a part of our 830 congregation, passed on to me a story about a little old stone church where the front steps of the church had become very worn through many years of people going up and down the steps. The congregation could not raise the money to replace the stone. Then someone got the idea that they could just flip the steps over. The underside of the stone would be smooth. That way, they could postpone the replacement of the steps out to some future generation. What a brilliant idea. So they flipped the steps and discovered their great-grandparents had beaten them to it. In contrast to that story about a past generation that skimped, our story this morning from the scripture was about a past generation that was remarkable in its generosity. The story was about the people of Israel who constructed the tabernacle under the leadership of Moses. We discussed the tabernacle over the past sermon series a couple different times. It was the movable sanctuary that the people of Israel built and then worshiped in as they journeyed through the wilderness, and that continued to be the worship center for the people until they finally built a permanent temple in Jerusalem. The tabernacle consisted of a large amount of richly decorated fabric, extensive framework and poles and silver bases in which they placed those poles, and items then that were contained inside the tabernacle, such as a gold lampstand, a small golden altar, a gold table, a large bronze altar, a bronze laver, and the gold-covered Ark of the Covenant. Plus, there were vestments, richly decorated special garments that the priests wore in worship. The people needed to construct all of these items in the wilderness, and the passage that we heard from Exodus told us how they did that. Moses appealed to the people to bring the items that were required. Chapter 35 begins with Moses saying, "Take from among you an offering to the Lord. Let whoever is of generous heart bring the Lord's offering, gold, silver, and bronze, blue, purple, and crimson yarns, and fine linen, goat's hair, tanned ram skins, and fine leather, acacia wood, oil for the light, spices for the anointing oil and for the fragrant incense, and onyx stones and gems to be set in the ephod and the breastpiece." Those were the items worn by the priests. People began to bring all these items as an offering for the tabernacle. Before long, people had given so much that there was more than enough. So that our passage says, Moses gave command, and word was proclaimed throughout the camp, "No one is to make anything else as an offering for the tabernacle." So the people were restrained from giving. Imagine the announcement going out to a congregation today saying, "You've brought too much, stop giving." Well, actually, something like that happened here in this church a year ago. Last October, we appealed to this congregation for a campaign to completely renovate our sanctuary organ. It's an extensive project requiring $460,000, more than twice the size of any capital campaign we had done in recent years. We hit the target in 2 months. Not that all the funds were given, but the total amount was subscribed in pledges by Christmas, so that we closed the campaign and stopped appealing for any new contributions. There's a marvelous parallel to what happened way back in the wilderness. When the people of Israel were in the wilderness, they were in challenging circumstances, very uncertain times, and they had limited possessions. So what moved them to give so abundantly? If you look carefully at our scripture verses, there's a particular sort of phrase that repeatedly appears. Let everyone who is of generous heart bring the Lord's offering. They came, everyone whose heart was stirred, and everyone whose heart was willing, and brought the Lord's offering. Both men and women, all who were of a willing heart, brought all sorts of gold objects. All the women whose hearts moved them to use their skill spun goat's hair. All the Israelite men and women whose hearts made them willing to bring anything for the work brought it as a freewill offering to the Lord. Moses then called every skilled one to whom the Lord had given skill, everyone whose heart was stirred, to come to do the work. Everyone whose heart was willing, everyone whose heart was stirred, brought an offering and joined in the work. They gave because their hearts moved them. It was their love for God and their commitment to God that inspired them to give with such generosity. There's a principle here that explains everything that we see or do not see in charitable giving today. Why is it that the situation described in Exodus is so rare in our time? You seldom hear about churches or charities that are receiving more than what is needed. Right now, aside from our organ fund, our church is well behind where we ought to be financially at this point. And that is a rather typical circumstance for churches to be barely scraping by. Since 1990, religious giving in America, when adjusted for inflation, has dropped 50%. The image in the book of Exodus of people joyfully streaming to the tabernacle to give in abundance is not the typical picture in our society. Average charitable giving in America today, as a percentage of income, is lower than what it was during the Great Depression. It has to do with where people are spiritually. What the biblical story makes plain is that the key factor in giving is the condition of the heart. It is when people are filled with an authentic love for God that they are moved to give to God's work in abundance. I'm not talking here about an emotional feeling. Now, people may sometimes feel their heart stirred in a way by a dramatic story of some need, or they may be stirred when they're in the midst of sort of crisis situation. That kind of circumstance can prompt some giving. But a commitment based purely on emotion or some short-term situation rarely amounts to much and never lasts. There's an old movie entitled The End, in which the main character decides to end his life by swimming out far from shore until he finally just sinks into the water. He swims out, tires, begins to sink, then has second thoughts. As he struggles to the surface, he promises to God that if God will get him to the shore, he will keep all of the Ten Commandments. Then he realizes he does not know the Ten Commandments. So he promises to God that if he makes it to shore, he will give God 80% of what he has. He's able to keep swimming. His strength does not give out. As the shore comes clearer into view, he says to God, "Let's make that 10% that I will give." Finally, he approaches the beach and says, "God, just forget about everything I said out there." generosity that is based upon emotion, or certainly upon any sort of bargaining, always proves fickle. The generosity of the people in the wilderness was spiritually based. It was out of their sincere devotion to God that the people were moved to give in real abundance. Indeed, in their giving, we can see several key features that continue to be hallmarks of genuine, spiritually based giving today. First, the people gave in gratitude to God for God's saving and providing love. Our gift is not so much a gift to God, but rather a response to all that God has given us and all that God has promised us. Secondly, the people gave their best. The items that the people brought, the gold jewelry and the gemstones, the rich fabrics, the acacia wood, constituted the most valuable things that the people owned. But they gave their best because they were giving to God. Today, in the general charitable landscape in America, most people give the leftovers, something they can spare, in response to some prompt, which is why giving in general is so low. But people of faith give off the top because they are giving to the Lord. This is why we can have a day like today, when people make a financial commitment for the next year, even before the year begins. Still further, the people in the wilderness gave without need for recognition. There were no plaques in the tabernacle announcing the names of the donors. A couple weeks ago, I noted that the church is almost unique among charitable organizations today in not having the lists or printing lists of donors or inscribing people's names on walls or places or naming buildings after donors, because our basic ethos is that we give not to glorify ourselves, but to glorify God. The people also could give generously, even though their circumstances in the wilderness were tenuous, because they trusted that God would provide as they moved forward. The Apostle Paul expressed this kind of trust centuries later when he was encouraging early Christians to give generously and said, "And God is able to provide you with every blessing in abundance, so that by always having enough of everything, you may share abundantly in every good work." The people in the wilderness gave both of their material possessions and also of their time and talent. We heard this described in our passages as people not only brought items for the tabernacle, but they participated hands-on in the project. And this is certainly true of the church today. It is why we have opportunities both for financial giving and ways to be involved in hands-on service, raking leaves in the churchyard, or volunteering for Make a Difference Week, or going on a mission trip. In fact, this weekend we have 11 persons involved in two different mission trips, two persons down at Mountaintop, the Grundy County Fall Festival there, distributing all the coats we collected, and then 9 persons who have headed down to Sager Brown to that mission supply depot there. There are all sorts of ways in our church in which people get involved in serving as a part of God's work. We follow that biblical model of giving to God both of our material and our spiritual resources. Finally, the people gave with joy. There's a real sense of excitement in that Exodus account of people giving for the tabernacle. They rejoiced that they were a part of something much larger than themselves, something truly significant, that they could share in the purposes of God. So they built the tabernacle using quality ingredients, and they produced an extraordinary result. They acted not out of obligation or emotion, but out of devotion to God. We are invited to likewise share in building God's church today. Let us pray. Eternal God, we give thanks for how you have blessed us in countless ways, and how you call us today to be a part of the work and mission of your church. We pray, O Lord, you would inspire us, as you inspired those people centuries ago in the wilderness, to respond in faith, to offer to you our best, to take our place in the work of your kingdom, to join, O Lord, in building your church in our time. We thank you, Lord, for the many ways in which you are at work here among us and around us, those ways in which we can engage in ministry today as your people. We thank you for all the different forms of outreach in which we can share in our community and in our world. And we thank you for how we can support one another as we journey together. We do reach out to persons in our fellowship who are in times of particular challenge. We remember those who are sick or have been dealing with surgeries. And we thank you, Lord, for how we can reach out beyond the walls of our church. We lift up our fellow United Methodists this morning at the West Lebanon United Methodist Church. And we pray you would empower us as we are inspired to reach out as your people into our world today. Guide us, O Lord, as we would hear your call to us, as we would respond in devotion, and as we lift to you our praise. In the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior, we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this edition of the United Methodist Church of Kent Sermon Podcast. For more information about the church and to read Dr. Palmer's Notes from the Pastor blog with more about today's topic, visit www.kentmethodist.org.